Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So as we continue to follow along with the Saving Grace series, which is helping us to think through our personal finances and the way that that relates to our faith and with the church, the study for this week is giving and the faithful way. And there are four passages that I will be reading from. The first is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. The Lord says, I will make of you, Abraham, a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The next verse is from the book of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The third is from the letter of 1 John, chapter 3. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Finally, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. I'm sure this is a familiar one for many of us, but I pray it speaks to us in a new way today. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Excuse me. So there are four verses, or four passages, and when I first received the opportunity to preach, I wasn't sure how to go about it. And I checked my email the next day, and I started getting, like, out of the blue this email series from Our Daily Verse, and it was for James chapter 1, and it kind of unpacked that verse. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's one of the four. And I was driving to Georgia, so I was heading down 95, and I swear there was a billboard, this enormous bright yellow billboard that had the every generous act of giving. I was like, does that, like, there was no, my four-year-old was in the back seat, but I was like, how is this, if this isn't a sign from God that this is the verse you're going to preach on, I don't know what else would be. And so I'm excited to share this with you all today. So I invite us to pray. Eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us your Holy Spirit, who writes the preached word into our hearts. May we receive and believe it and be cheered and comforted by it in eternity. Glorify your word in our hearts and make it so bright and warm that we may find pleasure in it. Through your Holy Spirit, think what is right, and by your power, fulfill the word for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Excuse me. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Last year, Amazon had this ingenious idea to host a second Prime Days in October. The newly rebranded Prime Big Deal Days sale takes place just before the hype of Black Friday gets going. And naturally, other big box retailers are following suit for an October shopping extravaganza. Some of us may already be thinking about Christmas shopping. Others of you may be rolling your eyes. Last week, we discussed the first of the three calls of John Wesley. We want to earn all we can. Today, we want to spend all we can. Give all you can. The building momentum around holiday shopping seemed a fitting distinction for our focus today. To me, spending and presents is different than giving. So when we shop for family members or friends, we have their particular interests and likes in mind. There is an anticipation of the facial reaction when they open the gift from us. When we see that smile, we receive instant gratification. Yes. Conversely, when someone responds with a blank stare, we're disappointed. We mail something to someone and we may never hear, did they get it? Did they like it? Did they not like it? We are sad when we don't have that immediate kind of affirmation that my money was spent wisely on this friend or family member. The act of giving is distinct from spending. Disciples, we are called to give to the Lord as an act of worship. So as you may know, within the service of worship, offering comes after the word is proclaimed. It's our response to God speaking to us. The pastor invites us to give of our tithes and offerings. I know the word tithe is fairly familiar in our culture. In Hebrew, it means a tenth of what we receive, 10%. An offering is something we give above and beyond our tithe. So we would give towards the backpack buddies or to the youth to buy a feather flag or all of these things that the church tries to do above its basic calling. This type of giving is less transactional. We give to the church by placing money into the offering plate or through the automatic withdrawal of our checking account. And we receive a statement of giving quarterly. But we don't know exactly how these funds are used by the church. Our offertory prayer, which is always printed in our bulletin, helps to narrate our collective hopes for these gifts, that God will use this church and its resources to serve the community, and that God will receive our gifts as a response to the gifts we have received. All that we have is first a gift from God, out of God's goodness. So why is giving to the church so hard? Many of us spend money on things we are required to pay for. We get specific bills. We fill our gas tanks. We buy food. Excuse me. I have a cough drop. I'm sorry. We pay for school pictures twice a year because we're afraid if we don't buy both of them, then our children will forever be scarred because we didn't get all of the memories of them. That may not be true, but that's how I always feel. Because the costs of living are so steep, we are practiced in managing our money. We retain control over our money. Now, we understand that our income is ultimately provided by God. Show of hands, how many of us have heard a sermon in church about giving money? So, this is not new material, as my husband likes to say. Right, we're familiar with giving. But in our bones, we feel it on a Monday morning when we have to wake up, clock in. As Pastor Anita encouraged last week, we are encouraged by John Wesley to earn all that we can. We have agency in earning income. Even if we aren't directly employed, we carefully monitor the needs of our lives and those who depend on us. My mom was a nurse for several years with two small children, 3 and 2, she would work the night shift at a hospital. she'd come home and have to help me take a bath and deal with small children after working all night. We moved from Texas to New York. She did not continue nursing, but she served as a full-time mom to 3 children, 5, 4, and 1 years old, 2 boys. In high school, my mom would wake up early on Monday morning and clean our entire house. She kept that house in order in every sense of the word. So whether or not you're employed, you are a steward of the resources that you have, including your money. So when we give, it is a release of control. I am giving this money to you, God, to use. Giving to God is a direct reflection of our trust and love for the Lord. In Romans, Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship." Some translations say, "I urge you, present our bodies and that part of our bodies that manages our finances to God as a living sacrifice." It is sacrificial, and in that way, giving is hard. I've given to the church for many years. I experience it as, I was trying to think of the right word, like a sixth sense was the best I came up with, just a sense of peace when I'm giving regularly to the church. Last fall, I was not giving regularly. We had a lot of expenses for the kids, and I went in and requested the automatic withdrawals to stop. I was still giving money to the church, but not on a consistent basis. It was always in the back of my mind, like a nagging thought. I just never really felt settled about a lot of things. I felt stressed about money, even when I was saving by not giving as much money to the church. At the beginning of this year, after the unnecessarily expensive holiday season where our children are now wanting to give away the toys that we bought last December, I resumed our regular gifts, and this year has felt exponentially more peaceful. But I was at Target the other day, and I audibly said, $10 for a bag of apples? I don't know why food is still so expensive, but I feel peaceful inside. The letter of James is written to the Jewish Christians who are dispersed across the region, as Miss Kathy was just talking about Israel. It was a letter that was sent not to be kind of a rigid list of rules, but it's more of a moralistic letter I'm sure many of you have read. But we're honing in today on one specific verse, chapter 1, verse 17. It relates to giving. And again, as Pastor Nita shared last week, it's not always good to pick just like one verse out of context, though this one does apply directly to giving. And the phrasing is so beautiful. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. At face value, we know that we give back to God out of God's abundant generosity with us. And this verse is so beautiful. We used it on our daughter's take-home outfit when she was born in the hospital. And she was our little angel sent from above. But the gifts that we receive that are mentioned in this verse are not limited to just our daily bread, the provision that we need to get through the day. We also receive spiritual gifts, which help us to live into our ministries. 1 Corinthians 12, we talk about these gifts. People have spiritual gifts of wisdom, of understanding, of teaching, of serving, of faith. And these gifts are evidenced through the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. It makes sense. My kids don't love me only because I give them material things, though many days it feels that way. The gifts I give to them and they give to me are an outpouring of the love that we share. However, James is addressing the concern that some believers were having. They would go through trials and think, well, I'm giving to God. Did I do something wrong? Is God tempting me? By no means, James says, God is the absolutely holy creator of all that is good. There is no hint of darkness or fickleness. God will always be characterized by God's goodness. The questions these early Christians wrestled with persist for us today. How do we feel when we don't get what we want from God? When going through the trials and temptations of this life, we start to wonder, is God really good? How can I know? James cuts through the fog. God cannot be anything other than good. The perfect goodness in God constantly works for our good. Every act of giving is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The heavenly lights burn bright all the time. The sun burns hot and bright, but every day our view is hidden by the shifting shadows as the earth rotates. Our perspective gets shadowed, but the reality is unchanged. The sun continues to burn bright and hot. Like the heavenly lights, no matter what our perspective is of the goodness of God or God's gifts, both pleasant and painful, God is burning bright and hot in goodness, holiness, perfection. And the loving parental attitude toward we as God's children, who God never ceases raising up into the likeness of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. God is always there, burning with love for us. So how can we respond? There are two ways. The first, we can express our gratitude to God. Gratitude rightly orders our love, keeping God as a more important priority than the things in our life that we get from God. Y'all may know that story from Luke where the 10 lepers are healed and they all are so excited and march off and only one turns around and says, thank you. Where are the other nine? Jesus says. Because of what Jesus has done, believers are urged in the book of Hebrews, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Just as giving to God is hard, coming to worship every week is hard. It's a sacrifice. And we are here to worship together. Second, we can be generous with others. So that was Hebrews 13:15. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. The next verse, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When God is generous with us, it should spur us on to be generous with others. Freely you have received, Jesus says, freely give. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the source of our deep gladness. When we worry, are frustrated, or disappointed, help us turn our focus toward you. We have reason to rejoice today because of Jesus. It's so easy to get distracted by the cares of this world and forget that you created the earth and everything in it. James 1:17 tells us every good and perfect gift is from above. Thank you, God, for the beauty of your creation, the comfort of your presence, and the wonderful gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever this week will bring, we will respond with gladness because you are the only one who satisfies our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.